Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, so let's get. What did I say today's teaching would be the title? From what? All right, so what was the last point we hit on Tuesday? Let me see if you are following me. I remember we spoke about discerning times and what season. That many people are not aware of their set times and their season. And we spoke about two kind of time. What and what? Let me see if you remember. And Kairos, Chronox and Kairos. As the descriptions of time, Chronox is a regular passage of time. And Kairos is your set time by God for an event in your life to happen. Isn't it very important? And we expatiated quite much in the area that it entails us to. And we say today we'll continue. So I said I will continue it today, but I'll give it another topic called From What? Preparation to Glory. So I want you to really pay attention. Because if you need to really get into the glory in your time of preparation, you still have to understand times and season. You've got to understand times and season. And we spoke about vividly the sons of Issachar for their unique understanding of time and season, how that they were advantageous to David, isn't it? Alright, and led to so much victory. David discerned that those guys were very usable because they had understanding of the times and season, and he used them so much and they had a lot of victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I said I understand that times and season can be discerned. You know, you can be able to sense the presence of God and sense angelic activities and sense what God is doing in an atmosphere sometimes, like in church service like this. Well, you shouldn't stop here. You should be able to go into the marketplace and sense that it's your time to have a lot of money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You should be able to be in the school and know that God wants me to achieve this in this school. He wants me to be the best. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Whatever God is doing in the spiritual should translate in the what? In the physical. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very, very important. We should not only be praying with God, and that's the only praying in church and shouting, and that's the only evidence we've got. No. Our prayer should translate. Even though we know that the aim of prayer is not to produce money. You got to understand this. The aim of prayer is not to produce what? Money. Because some people were already rich before they encountered God. Are we together? Huh? Hey, are you in church this wonderful morning? Some people were already what? Rich. If you are following this God because of money, you will be disappointed. I've said that several times. You are not following God for money. And that doesn't mean that you'll be broke following God. Because some people felt consoled. They say, no wonder I'm poor. Are we together? God does not produce poor people. God has never produced anybody that is poor. Go and check your Bible. I know some people say Lazarus and the rich man. Did you hear that God made Lazarus poor? They just recorded that Lazarus was poor. That's all. And don't think Lazarus was poor. That's why he made heaven. No. There are a lot of poor people in hell. A lot of poor people in hell. Abraham is rich. He had a bosom in the realm of the spirit. Rich here, rich there. Hallelujah to Jesus. David, rich. Solomon, rich. Who do you want to call again that is poor? Don't even go to Jesus' side because the money Jesus had on earth. You know, some people thought Jesus was broke. He had a treasurer. They were partnering for Jesus' meetings. Before Jesus traveled, people used to gather money. It's in the Bible. Have you ever seen it in the Bible? The Bible said they gathered money for Jesus and the disciples to be able to do the ministry effectively. I'm trying to paraphrase. Somewhere around Mark 8, I guess. Are we together? Is it Mark 8? If anybody can remember. I think around there. Mark 8. Some sort of. Hallelujah to Jesus. So money is very important. And that's why God wants you to have money. And not just small money. He wants you to have a lot of it. Say, I have a lot of money. Are you listening? So money is very important. I'm led to talk about that just for a few moments before we continue. Because I know some people religiously talk about money. Money? Money? What is money? Yeah, he said money is hearing you. It will not come close to you. You're already making money your enemy. Are we together? So after all, thank God we do not have. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And they are looking for those songs. Immediately you raise the song, they bind to it immediately. Take the world and give me Jesus. Take the world, oh, and give me Jesus. Then they are forcing, you better take the world. I've never seen any funny song like in my life like that song. They are begging you better take the world. And now they are taking the world. You are going to beg. Meanwhile, the Lord told you the earth is the Lord's. Its fullness, thereof, the world, the arrangement belongs to God. It doesn't mean that he orchestrated some of the arrangements. You know, the world there in the root word is cosmos. It means the arrangement of the earth. There are some arrangement on the earth that God did not orchestrate. All right? He didn't orchestrate it, but he owns it. Meaning that it can scatter in 1 minute if he wants it to scatter. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He didn't arrange it, but everything is under his mastery. But guess what? He wants to rule over those things through you and I who are rejecting the earth, the world now. He said, the earth has he given to the sons of men. Remember, he didn't call Christians there. But originally, if you look at Genesis, the Bible said he created in himself, him, her. And he said, have dominion. Have dominion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So even though he has given the earth to human beings, there are certain human beings that should have rulership and supremacy over the earth. And we're talking about you and I seated here in the name of Jesus. God wants you to have dominion. He wants to have dominion through you. Let me put it like that. The Bible says, whatever name Adam called the animals were their names. Meaning, God agrees with Adam. He wanted to see if Adam is in alignment with him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And when Adam said, that is lion, he's like, cool. That is elephant, he's like, wow. Now, the reason he wanted Adam to pronounce their name to them is because he wanted them to what? Respond to him through Adam. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He wants everything in creation to respond to him through man. That's why he allowed man to give them names. Just like you have dogs. Who owned the dogs originally? Is it not God? Who do the dogs respond to? Is it not you? But it doesn't mean ultimately you own the dog. You didn't create any dog. God owns it. Are you here this wonderful morning? Very important. He wants to own, you know, I learned this years ago, called financial stewardship by Andrew Womack many years ago, that God wants to own money through you. He wants to use money through you. The problem with many Christians is that they don't allow God to use their resources through them. All right? Or use his resources through them, because you don't own anything. So God gives you money, he wants to use it, you limit him. He gave you the money, he wants to now use it, you limit him. And some people are thinking, you mean pastor just for church? No, not just for church. Church is involved, of course. Because the only medium for kingdom upon the face of the earth is the church. Are you here? So if your money is not involved in church, you don't love God. Alright? I know people have this claim. They say, but I give to the poor, and etc., which is very beautiful. In fact, the Bible says when you give to the poor, you say you lend it to the Lord. Are we together? But you must understand that the poor people are there as poor people and they need help, truly. The church is God's establishment and we need to push and get more people saved. So you are not sounding intelligent if you say the money you are supposed to give to the church, you give to the poor. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is not supposed to be a problem at all. Give to the poor and give to what? The church. You know, there are some people that try to replace it. They say, I give my tithe to the poor. And they want the church to talk so that they will bash the church. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are not being intelligent. You are just being like everybody. If you give your money to the poor, now how do we go for missions? They are going to get food and eat, but we will not collect their money and go for missions. You did a beautiful thing. And if you can extend your scope of influence, do for them and do for the work of God. All right, so I was talking about financial stewardship. That God wants to use finances through us because he owns everything. And if God finds out that he cannot use his resources through you, you are not capacitated enough for him to dominate the earth through you. Remember, he gave you dominion. The root word in Greek simply means a kingdom. If you look at the interpretation of what Jesus did in Matthew, somewhere in Matthew, he said, the Father will say to those by my right hand, come take the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of that. It simply means that at the end, it is the kingdom that will happen. It is man being on the earth and God ruling the earth through man. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. That's the end of all things. The end is the beginning. The beginning is the end. God is the Lord God. He never changes. Finally, the world will be like Eden, because it was like Eden in the beginning. God does not have plan B. His plan A is always the perfect plan. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's only men that will have plan A, plan B, because they feel like plan A will fail. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? But what God wants must stand. He said, my word has never returned to me void. If he wanted to rule the earth through man from the beginning, having a heaven and on earth experience, that's what will be in the end. That's what the Bible says. Finally, the dead in Christ will put on their flesh. This is your flesh. Don't be insulting it too much, because you're going to live with this flesh forever. So take care of it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Take care of it. And rob stuff that will cause the flesh to last long. If you rob it, may we care. The flesh cannot last eternal. I'm just joking. We'll give you eternal life to try to last eternal. Some people's flesh, if you look at it, you can. What will I use now? Have you seen custard before that they made it wrongly? That the top is very soft. How many of you have mixed custard that did not work before? And it did not work. This is when I was younger on campus. Whenever my roommate wants to mix custard, I'll come and sit close and be watching. I just want to see whether it works. A few times we got it right, most times we did not. So when I hear that they want to do custard, I just look for something to buy. I'm just thinking, what will I buy? Because I know it may not work. So they'll put hot water and you see them turning. Then when you finish, that's kunu. You just see kunu. And sometimes when we're lucky now, it becomes worse. It will not work. When it now works, it becomes too bad. It will now work. It will not be as... You know, have you seen candle wax before? You know, you can peel the face of the... Now, who would drink that kind of thing? That's how I wanted to describe some people's skin. It's like custard that overdrew. You can use spoon and fetch. And that doesn't mean you are enjoying. You are destroying your body. So when you see a man that has that kind of skin, you just know he has a problem. A man's skin ought to be tough. You shake a man's hand, it's as if you are shaking pillow. Have you seen those kind of men before? Okay, why is your hand so soft? Are you here this wonderful morning? Glory to God forevermore. So we're going to live on this earth forever. Don't allow anybody to distract you. Some people are, you know, that's why the Christian community right now, we're figuring it out. Thank God for men like Pastor Chris, who are doing great things for God. You know, they just had their kind of cars, their brand of cars recently, called OG series, some sort of electric cars. And some people still have problem with it. You have problem with your life. You just have problem with your entire life. Church build big auditorium, you have problem. In fact, I saw somebody, this Daddy Freeze. You know, the guy is really frozen. And I think his account too has been frozen, some sort of. Because the guy has a problem with his life. I think he was in House on the Rock. He hates church. Pastor, I'm sure that pastor corrected him or something. And he ran away. He had his marriage scattered, you know. Those kind of people that don't like truth, you correct them, they just get offended. And they feel like pastor is trying to scatter. I've heard him say things like that. Pastor tried to scatter my marriage, blah, blah, blah. How? Go and hear the original story from the ex. The one that left. That's where the original story is. And he got offended with church. He just started war against church. Well, he has been able to win some disciples. You know, there are some people always ready for criticism. Very gullible people. You know, when they hear anybody talk, they follow. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. And one time I heard him, at this point, I just know that something is not right. He needs to be prayed for. If you bring that man, I will lay hands on him. Demons will come out. It's not a joke. Just invite him to church. Let's just gather around him, a few intercessors. Then we'll lay hands. You just see him come out. He said, they said a man of God did something. He said, oh, is that enough? How much is in the account? I was like, a man of God did something. You are not saying it's not enough. What has your governor and your president done? You know, some of these people that attack churches, they don't even, it's see finish. There's Tinubu there in White House. There's earlier here. Attack. Go on social media and say, governor, I don't like what you are doing, and I'm warning you. Just do it. Before you finish the video, you know they've paraded your house. That's why you are respecting yourself. It's not because you are humble, though. But you know, with churches, you can get away with it. You can just look at Pastor Chris and say, look at this fake idiot. And nothing will happen. He doesn't even know that you exist. He's still living his life. You can see what he has done right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, fake men of God, they sell oil and the rest. Real men of God, they produce cars. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're affecting the economy, not selling oil and soap. And selling blood of Jesus. And he said it was not enough. The man of God should do more. I think it wasn't all recently that they did the campaign. Or if you are blind, just come. They will operate you. That's it. Not even healing, no. For how many millions they did free operation for. Nobody spoke. But the church does something, is always cold. Until they hear a wrong report. No system on the earth has added value to the lives of humanity more than the church. No system on that in this world. Go and check. Most of the things people learn in church for free. In fact, nobody pays to learn anything in church. It's the truth. Just join a department, that's all. You have learned how to arrange sound. Even if you leave the church, you carry this thing and go. You are in media, you have learned graphic design. You have learned photography for free. Which of the boys that are here knew what they knew before they came here? 99% of them knew it in church. Even music, you learn to play drum in church. You learn to be on key in church. You now want church to pay you at a point. They are not appreciating us enough. You know, you sound empty. I'm looking for the one that, you know, one thing with God, you grew up somewhere where they taught you music. You are not looking for the one that will pay you in music. If it's God that we serve, you'll be frustrated at the end. You must be frustrated. I was teaching some people, I said, God is not in that wrong character of somebody who has, you know, I firstly said, if you see people around you who have been, who had a wonderful relationship with someone who was some sort of a mentor to them, a spiritual father to them, and even their parents, some people even beef their parents, physical parents, like they don't want to talk to their mother again. They say their mother shout on them too much, so they are beefing their mother. Even on the mother's birthday, they say, happy birthday. And they just move. I mean, you are a kindergarten, they are still giving you milk. You have a problem with your best friend, you write it on your status. You need akamu. They should put it That time they give Shekinah, put crayfish on top and force it inside your mouth. Put it again inside. You need to grow. You must eat to grow. Your good friend, yes, don't trust people. I trusted and they failed me. Just one small problem. It's on your status. You don't know life. That's why you are beating people around. You don't know, you go one time and enter the office of you enter one office and your enemy is the senior HR. The one taking you the interview. Like the enemy you created from university. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She's the one now going to interview you. And you have insulted her and called her the devil you never knew. Vero, now you... you don't want that need to job. I don't say you're not going to give me a go. How would it go? Don't be creating unnecessary enemy for yourself. Somebody is mentoring you and one day maybe the person did not pick your call. You know, there are people like that. The person did not pick their call. They said, this person now has pride. When we're growing together with him, he was speaking my call. Now that he has grown, he doesn't pick my call. I'm going to change for another mentor now. I go where I'm celebrated, not where I'm tolerated. Your mentor, your father should raise you like a trophy. He should celebrate you. So you want to go where you are celebrated. You not enter where mediocres are and they are raising you like a trophy. You say, wow, go to an atmosphere. That's where your gifts begin to show. In fact, now you are mentoring people. You will need help. You know, when we see young people sometimes, there is a sincere pity. They will not think they've discovered purpose. I was sharing with some young people. I said, anything you are doing that is not connected to kingdom is not purpose. Anything you are doing not connected to kingdom is not purpose. You discovered something that will kill you finally. Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man. But the end of it is what? Like this Rotaract Club years ago in BSU, when I got admission the first time, I heard that, I just saw the group and I was excited with what they are pursuing. They want people to stop smoking and to stop cultism and etc. I think so, right? I saw their signboard around this school where they teach more of practicals. What was the name of that? Technical school. I saw the sign many years ago. I don't know if it's still there. And I got excited that there's a community of people that are trying to achieve this kind of aim. Only for me one time to ask, because I was so interested. Who is the president? I really want to meet those people. I like their vision. Now, at that chapter, right? I don't mean it's always like that everywhere, at the national level and etc. And when they showed me the person, he smokes. Alright? And the person is pursuing the vision of making sure people don't smoke. But the day I saw the person, he was smoking. So I said, how the hell do we get this done? That the person whose vision is to stop people from smoking is smoking. Or is a smoker. Why I said this is because of what I want to say right now. Outside God, you can't really help humanity. Paul said before he understood and encountered the truth, he said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself what? Oh, wretched man that I am. Kai. You have not entered, we promise. Stop. Pray. Let me do like the apostles do. Pray in the spirit. You are not there. You are not there. You are not there. Hallelujah to Jesus. Where was I? Before he took me out from heaven. You can't really help humanity. Like Paul said, the things I don't want to do before you encounter the truth of God's word, he said, I found myself doing them. He now said, oh, wretched man that I am. You are preaching against fornication. You are a fornicator. I'm not trying to talk down anybody, but it is the truth. If you never encountered God, you will talk against things and be the number one person doing it. And, you know, interestingly, you even hate the thing, but you still want to do the thing. Sin is a killer. Sin is a destroyer. Madam, give me one bottle. You admire greatness, but you don't find capacity that can entail you to pay the price for greatness. You just know that this kind of greatness is not for me, because the way I like beer parlor, the way I like star, the way I like life. You can't move around and see people drinking and not stop. Not trying to talk down you. I'm just trying to show you that that's the nature of sin. And you need the word of God. Are you listening to me? And if you claim you are in church and have the word and are behaving like that, two things are involved. It's either you are hearing the wrong word or you are indisciplined in that church. You are not obedient. You know, some people are in a church system and they want to have things their way, things done their way. I called someone recently. I said, "Do you love the Lord?" He said, "Yes." "You really want to serve Him?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you not serious in your department?" And he kept quiet. So I said, "You think posting on Facebook, doctrina, whatsoever you are doing, is what it means for you to serve God? You are not even faithful in the little thing God has given you yet. Yet you claim you love the Lord. And probably, I'm sure you are seeing visions of you ministering to billions of people. And you are not faithful where He has kept you yet. How then will you do great things for God?" Hallelujah to Jesus. Or you think that when you don't do the right things, you can go and meet God later in your closet and say, "God, I love you." If you love Him, it translates into action. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandment. You will keep my word." It's not crying during worship, even though it's not a problem if you cry and are doing what is right. But it is not crying during worship that proves you love the Lord alone. You got to keep His word. And I'm here telling you this morning that if you find yourself not keeping God's word, it is because the nature of sin is more emphasized in your life than the nature of righteousness, which is a function of you lacking the right information of God's word, the right information, which is revelation. You don't have a revelation of God's word. That is why the nature of sin is still more highlighted in your life. The Bible says what the law could not do, wrong understanding cannot do it. What the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh, Christ did. Only the revelation of Jesus can do it. He destroyed sin, Romans 8 and 3, even sin in the flesh. True revelation of God's word will destroy sin. The true revelation of God's word is what we call grace. And that's why the Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men, to the end that they say what? No to all form of unrighteousness. Like I say to you people every time, I don't care who the hell is saying anything else, but I know that God's word will never cause you to continue on your sin. If you hear anything that says whatever you do in the flesh does not matter, you're in trouble. Run away from such information, because that's not revelation. Are you listening to me? It's not. You can be a child of God and be walking in sin. There's something we cannot doubt about God. He is holy, and He alone is holy. And He said something in the New Testament. He said, "Be what? Be holy also," in other translation, "as your Father in heaven is." Are you here this wonderful morning? So we may not really understand the revelation, but if the revelation permits sin, it is not from where? God. Simple and short. I really feel like sharing this fire in your heart this morning. And even though I'm talking about the importance of money, don't do anything. Don't be ready to do anything for money. It is a wrong mindset. Like, I'm in church now, I'm bouncing a lot of calls. It is very urgent. If I pick those calls, I'm not joking with you, I'll have a contract that will give me close to ₦1 million. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you, because of what I do. But I've been bouncing the call. The person does not even know I'm a pastor. They treat me as a computer scientist. But I will not pick. Are you get what I'm trying to say? I'm saying, what will now happen? God will give me another one. Or this one will wait for me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. And some again, not even money. Alright? It's not even money that is a problem. It is that they worship some things that men respect so much in this world. It is important everybody gets married. But don't do anything. Don't be ready to do anything to get married. Especially as women. Because the pressure is more on women than men. Say you are getting old. How old are you? Just 31, 32. They say you are getting too old to marry. You're like, my flower is going. Where is the flower? And now they are putting you under pressure. If this one go, who will come? Ask yourself, how did he come in the first place? If he came, another person will come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't look down on God by your actions. Your actions, like Dom Wen said, Blessed Dom Wen is still alive. That blessed does not mean he's dead. Oh, Pastor Dom Wen. He said, I have made you too small in my eyes. Our actions sometimes make God to look too small. Then he said, oh God, forgive me. He said, I believe in my heart that you were unable to help me. Are you listening to me? You are in a situation, you feel, you are beginning to get scared. You are looking down on God. Somebody told you nothing good can ever come out from your life. You are crying. You are looking down on God. Why did you cry? Somebody say, you fool, you couldn't sleep. Because you believe his word more than God's word. The Bible calls righteousness breastplates. Breastplate of righteousness. Meaning that when they throw it, it will just hit and fall. You don't even recognize it. You will chest it. Without even knowing you chested it. Because it's iron. That is that breastplate of righteousness. Iron. Meanwhile, you still even have the sheet of faith. You have breastplate of righteousness. You have sword of the spirit. Then somebody is stopping you. Somebody is making you feel bad. They say you are ugly. You could not sleep. That you can never amount to anything. You are crying. Why did you cry? What is the problem? They say I will never amount. You cried. Your boyfriend left you. You are crying. You see one guy come, you are holding him, bang, bang. They tell you, hold him, another one may not come. Because you don't think you really amount to anything. Even though he's not the right guy for you, you cannot truly see the virtues of the Spirit, you are ready to hold him, nari keshi gangam. You hold him, gam, gam. He slap you, you hold him. He talks to you anyhow, you hold him. Narikeshi gam gam. They beat you. You go back the next morning. And everybody's doing like they've not beat them before. I'm sure there are some girls who've beat him before. Some of you are pretending like they've not beat you. Maybe one of them is here. Who knows? They beat you. Still went and knocked in the morning. I'm very sorry. Sorry for anything that allowed you to beat me. I know it's not your fault. Don't worry, you don't need to pay. I'll treat this side. I'll treat it for our love. Even the guy is wondering, waiting they worry this one. I just say she don't go come again. Then the funniest part are the ones that they beat and they come and apologize the next day just for them to accept and they beat them again. Somebody beat you, came and apologized that he doesn't know. The thing just rises up once in a while. He sure night to not rise up again. You now agree. You went back again. They beat you. He now comes again kneeling down. Then you agree. You know, I remember years ago, somebody messaged me. Say, sir, he beats me up. I say, okay, don't continue the relationship. Sister, but I love him. I say, are you okay? What do you love about somebody that beats you up? You love the pain? Some ladies, you need to go to a rehab. Let them watch you. Let them be speaking God's word to you. You are not a mumu. 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 Every morning, you are not a mumu. You are not a mumu. You are the righteousness of God. You are the right. You need to be hearing it 24 times every morning. 25,000 times. Do you understand? So that you wake up. Your declaration should be, I'm God's righteousness. I know be mumu. I'm God's righteousness. I know be mumu. I'm God's righteousness. I know be mumu. How can somebody beat you up and you say you love him? What your father has never done. I'm sure your mother have done, but your father has never done. Somebody with those strong hands. Why? Your brain shot. When the brain reset, you came back. There is nothing to love about such a person. I told her the person needs help. I said, see, he needs help. He needs help. And I said, he has been helped by the Lord. Don't continue that relationship. Then she said, sir, boy, he's a nice person. I said, how? Some of you like to see, when we say always see the better side of life, we don't mean when a boyfriend is beating you, you should try to see. Remove boyfriend that beats you inside this thing when we're telling you. Don't be inspired in that direction. We are teaching you in church. I was saying, learn to see the bright side of life in the name of. And I said, okay, I go see the bright side of something, even if he beats me. Remove that guy that beats you inside this revelation. We did not join him inside. Because there is a day that will come, eyes to even see bright side will not be there again. Why? See, value yourself too much. Too much. Too much. Do you know there are some kind of guys that will never tell a lady, can you come to my house? Because they know if they talk, they will block them. The way the lady presented herself. But you, ask yourself, why is it that if they just start something, they'll say, when will you visit me? You now start explaining, what do you take me for? You are actually looking like everything he takes you for. You look it. That's why now I'm being very far. If you are here and I'm talking to you, exactly. Somebody message you and say, when will you come to my house? Check yourself. You look like them. You should go and watch yourself carefully. Look, why would somebody look at me? And the first thing, when will you come to my house? Or how much is your money? It's the way you present yourself. So money should not be everything. Are you listening to me? Even if you don't have money as a lady, it's the way you take yourself. Raise your shoulder high. Say, what's the problem? Say, Jesus died for me. I'm his righteousness. I've been wonderfully and beautifully made. See, you are not very excited when I say Jesus died for you. You think that is a normal thing you've been hearing from childhood. You got to start seeing it with revelation. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you have a lady close to you, tap her and say, I'm not your mama. Tell us, say, I'm the righteousness of God. Did they respond? All right, let's continue. Instead of praying, you were listening. Okay, just strike it now. Let's see if you have entered. All right. Now let's fly. You all agree that he has entered, right? No, he has entered. That time he was playing Twinkle Bell, Twinkle Bell. All right, let's continue, right? Matthew 16, 2 to 3. I said, you must learn to discern times and season. In this part of scripture, Jesus addressed this exact spiritual blindness during his early ministry. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, next part of scripture, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Then he said, hypocrites. He said, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Because they were against him And he was wondering why the hell are they not discerning that this is the Messiah that has come to save the people from their sin. He said, you can discern all these things. When moon come, you go and start doing all of these earthly traditions and etc. Understand what I'm trying to say? When it's Christmas day, you are celebrating happy Christmas. He said, but the Messiah is standing before you and you cannot even discern him. Yet you have been studying many years about him. He said somewhere in his word, he said, I came to my own and my own what? Received me not. They couldn't discern him, and yet they have been practicing practices about him. That's the problem. You practice it to the point that you are lost. People get what I'm trying to say? The church stood against Jesus in his days. This is something to be very scared about. It is possible you are in a church and you are against Jesus. Are you listening to me? Are you here? You are in a church, you are against Jesus. That he came to his own said, go back, that your doctrine is wrong. Jesus, who is the author of doctrine, has a wrong doctrine. Because they were blinded. Religion will cause you to be blind. Religion will cause a professor to go and buy holy soap. I'm telling you the truth. It is only religion that will cause a professor, somebody who knows how to make soap, who knows the component, chemistry professor. You see him buying soap so that he'll be able to see well. It's only religion that can cause that to happen. Are you listening to me? Very important. And when we talk tonight, today, you feel like we are not Jesus. But the truth is that we are still reiterating his word. We are saying what he said to the religious people. And today people are having problem with us because simple answer, they are only but religious people. Remember the cry and the prayer the Pharisees made? They say, crucify him, his blood be upon, and our what? They have children. Religious spirit. You are doing a blind stuff, a blind tradition, and nobody can correct you. The only time some people ever read scripture this season was when we saw somebody carrying the skull of a person and putting into a molded component statue. When we spoke about it, they went and read Bible so that they can come and tell us that Elijah's bones brought the dead back to life. You are wondering, I couldn't even talk. You know, there's a way you see some response. You don't even continue engage the conversation. What will I say to this kind of person? Now, how does these two things correlate? That the bones of Elijah, that they left, they forgot. Are you listening to me? Because I'm sure if they wrote something and arranged that place that Elijah was buried so much, they would have known it was Elijah's graveyard and would not even throw a dead man inside that place. They forgot. And when they throwed somebody who was dead, the anointing on Elijah's body, on his remains, the person contacted it and came back to life. Nobody performed any ritual. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Something is wrong somewhere. And when we talk, we get so battered. Some of us. How the hell do we keep quiet to such things? I have some screenshots I would have been able to show you today, but there's no need for all of those things. People are saying in the comment section, we made a mistake to believe Christianity. Let's go back to our forefathers. Because this is the same practice they practice. I saw somebody now say, my father, forgive me. Saint Chukwuemeka, pray for me. Now, he's saying his father, Saint Chukwuemeka, she'll pray for him. And I have these things on my, I'll show you. Maybe I'll post one of it for you people to see. This is the problem we are causing. People are not saying that their father has sent. Some of one say, I'll go and remove his my father's call. I think I understand the thing now. And some of them are very serious. They are not joking. They say they just use skin color and deceive us. But it's the same practices we have. One said, if you are a priest now, carry kola nuts and carry this in and do your mass, we will come. You are seeing the problem. No biblical base. No, nothing. The root is not from scripture. And that was the same problem Jesus had with the Pharisees. Moses told you this because of the hardness of your heart. It's not so in the beginning. It's not supposed to be a practice. There was a condition that made for this kind of practices to ever evolve. They call it canon laws. We don't need man-made laws. We don't need it. Else the people will be perishing. You go to such places, you hear the worst things happen. There was a time I heard that there's a metamorphosis of what they call celibate gay priests. How the hell do we ever relate with such ideologies? If you want to sleep with somebody, go and marry. But that's what they call now celibate gay priests. How can you be celibate and still be gay? We are trying to arrange the thing by all means. As long as Christ is not known, that's just a monastery. It's a cemetery, sorry. Dead things will be happening there. As long as Christ Jesus is not known. He said, upon Christ I will build my church. Upon Christ, not any man-made religion. Not any man-made ideology. He said, the gate of hell, Satan will not find entrance if the people are built on Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We would have never heard anything like this if it was built on Christ. He said, the gate of hell. And this is not me trying to defend Pentecostal. I am not for anybody. I am for the word of God. This is not a fight against a certain denomination. No. It is me standing with the truth. I have never called myself Pentecostal in the first place. Or protester. What am I protesting against? Are you here this wonderful morning? Glory to God forevermore. It's time to wake up, people of God. Check this thing out. Wake up. If you don't wake up, who are you waiting for to wake up? Who are you waiting for to wake up? How the hell do we change humanity if we keep on thinking like this? This is the kind of church they are even trying to kill, you know, the sons of the bondwoman, trying to kill us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yet, if you even look at us who call ourselves a church, we are not having the right force that should stand against all of this evil because we are not even standing on Christ Jesus. Little wonder today in the wide world there are some churches who have turned to clubs. Even though it's not a nice thing in general now that churches are turning to clubs, if you look at that church, the basis was never Christ Jesus. It was all of these practices which were more like sinking sands that they were standing upon. And that is why over time, even their love for Jesus was cold. The love of many, the Bible says in the end time, word was cold. It became so cold. I saw one of my friends I used to know from secondary school. I led him to Christ. Recently, I saw him play a worldly song. And he said, they did not mention any bad thing in the song, man of God. I said, listen, I called his name. I said, what is happening is that your love for God is waxing cold. There was a time you don't even ask this question. As long as you understand that this person sings this kind of song, you don't play it on your status. Now you are looking for the one that did not say any bad thing. I say your love for Jesus is waxing cold. And I told him, wake up from your slumber. Wake up. When the height of demonism and darkness happening upon the face of the earth, indeed, the heart of men will start waxing cold. I was talking one time. How that's if we don't know Jesus, you know, somebody said something threatening. He said the level of darkness, if Jesus too was on the earth, it would have been a little bit tough for him. He said the level of darkness there, and I laughed. I said, you don't know what you are saying. Although I understand that truly there's a high level of darkness upon the face of the earth, but darkness is still darkness and light is still light. No one lights a candle and put under a bushel. God likens darkness to bushel. The thicker the darkness, the better the light finds expression. Jesus is light, period. Darkness is darkness. In any generation of darkness, Jesus will stand out. He will stand out. Are you here? I know all the worst things happen. All the worst things. I mean, with this whole rubbish happening in our country, people are still in one room, Big Brother Nigeria, sleeping with themselves. You barely will not come across such videos on Facebook. You got to understand, you know, I was telling leaders, I said that's the highest level of debt. Years ago, I was in a vision. The Lord took me in a very deep vision, and I saw a very big story building, and I saw different cupboard, you know, and as I was working with a young man. I told you the vision years ago. It was one of my pastors that time. We're going together, and a beautiful lady came with a pale face. The only way I can describe her is that she looked like somebody that did a lot of makeup. And that's why I started having problems with people who do a lot of makeup, because that's what I saw in the vision. So she had this pale face. The closest way you get a pale face is when you look at somebody that put too much this in. They always have pale face. So they are closer to the realm of death. Now, follow me carefully. In the book of Revelation, the Bible describes her death to have pale face. Are we together? And that she sat on a horse. I don't know why they had to use a woman. But that she sat on a horse. Are we together? I truly don't know why they had to use a woman. I'm just telling you what I saw in the Bible. And you can go and vet it out. And he was driving on a black horse. So in that vision, I saw this woman with a pale face talking to him. He was not liking the woman. This is my boy. He was liking the woman. I already knew that he likes fine girls. So he was liking the woman. So when the woman was talking to both of us, so I started moving to the next, because it was like we are going to different places. So I started moving to the next place. And when I told my boy was going with the woman, she was taking him somewhere and was gisting with him. So I called out his name. I don't want to call out the name now. It may sound embarrassed. I shouted his name. I said, "Come here." So he came. I said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "Follow me. Let's go." So we kept on moving. Hallelujah to Jesus. And we got to this big story building. And at the front of the story building, the compartment was cupboard. Different drawers. Different cupboards. You open, you know the way these schools are in the US, where you have where you keep your bag before you enter the class. That's how it was arranged. And at the front of every cupboard was a particular scene. A particular scene. So let's say, for instance, you call, take of any scene now. At the front, you open it, then you see a dead corpse inside, like the skeletal system of somebody who has died a long time ago. So I was just surprised. What's the meaning of this? And the Lord spoke to my heart in that vision. He said, people are alive yet dead because they are caught up by a particular sin. So they are alive, but they cannot make any impact, not just spiritual impact, even physical impact. Do you know if you are caught up in a sin like pornography and masturbation, even the potentials to do something well, not spiritual yet, you cannot do it. You cannot explore that potential. You say the man is intelligent, but he can't just do any business with his money. He can't do anything he has money is to be. We don't just know why he can't do anything. If you check that person well, he's suffering from an addiction. He's alive, yet dead. Dead but walking. That's why even though he's alive, we can't feel his impact. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? My eyes were open and that's what I was seeing. You see a particular scene and the carcasses of the person is inside. And I began to weep. Immediately I started crying. My roommate saw my mouth shaking and I was crying. He stood up to the edge of the room and was watching me throughout over 1 hour, 2 hours. Watching like a movie. I went to the next place, and as I stood before a Sahindrin, that's what I can remember. There were a lot of things that happened. I stood before a Sahindrin, like a Sahindrin court. More like, you know, they sat this way, upwards, people here, like a football field, the way they sit in a football field. So I was in the middle of it, and I was just being castigated for my belief. And so I got to a point, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said to myself, I am tired. That's what I shouted. I said, I am tired. And when I said I'm tired, I was leaving the place because the bashing was too much. And as I was leaving, I said, Prophet Kobus deceived me. That's what I just said. Now, being very honest. Immediately I shouted that, I just saw Prophet Kobus in the vision. And he said, I never deceived you. I said, but look at it. Everybody is against me. As I was shouting everybody and crying, then he started praying in tongues and he held my hands. So I started praying in tongues in that vision till I woke up, my mouth was moving. I stood up more convinced. I rushed straight to that boy's house. And I said, hear the word of the Lord. If you are not careful, women will become your end. Should I tell you something shocking? At the end, that young boy who was fervent in the Lord started going to club. I tried my best. He ended up in club. Are you here this wonderful morning? That's why I'm telling people, sometimes you are burning for the Lord. When you are not doing the things that are right, you come to church and you want to be moving around, you truly don't want to sit and hear the word, you are in trouble. What has the potency to change you is the word of God. You want to be singing everywhere and the word of God is not in your spirit. We are not castigating you. As long as there's deficiency in the word, it will come to a point that this gospel singer is sleeping around. Because nothing is happening to your spirit, man. The Bible says, he that watereth must be watered. Even me, I listen to the word. Have you caught me hearing the word several times? Some of you would have heard me. Sometimes even if you're around, I'm listening to the word. I need to listen to the word. I have people I ask questions when I'm confused in an area. Are you listening to me? God will always leave that space so that you will never be proud. I always tell people, that deficiency, he will leave it small. I said, let me see whether this boy will be proud. Your life and destiny is so important for you to be casual about it. No man can talk to me. I know what I'm doing. You are not going anywhere, sister. You are not going anywhere, brother, with that character. You really want to manifest the glory of God upon the face of the earth, fulfill destiny? Somebody, God must use somebody to arrange your life. The Bible says something. He said, when you are a child, you do anything you want to do. He said, but when you are grown up in God, he said, one takes you by the hand. God will use a man to hold your hand like this and say, go like this. Come back like this. Go like that. And that's why the Bible gave us a fivefold ministry. To edify the saint. There is nothing in this world that God can ever use to edify any human being except the church. If you avoid the church, you can never become the best of what God wants in your life. God can never use you effectively. There is no man under heaven that can avoid the church and become relevant in destiny. Because what God has given for the edification of the saints is the church. The fivefold ministry. So where else will you get edified and perfected if not the church? Even if your spirituality makes you to feel like there's someone else, there's somewhere else, I bet you, I tell you the truth, it's a demon that is speaking to you. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. We can't help children a lot of times, so they think they got it figured out. There was a time you felt like PS4 is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Look at you now. If they give you money to buy PS4, you will buy land. But there was a time that all you thought was PS4. Okay, what if right now, as I'm talking to you, I stay a child? What if this your disrespect and foolishness in that department is because you are a child? And now that we're talking, you think you are grown up. But we can't help you because you think everything is figured out for you. But I bet you must come to that point in life. You come two ways. You come by listening or you come by bad experience. There are two ways you come to that this place of maturity. By listening to people who have to people God have put over your life, or by wrong experiences. I've seen people sometimes that I cannot help. And sometimes I'm almost crying. Because I wish they can listen to me. I truly wish they can listen. Especially around relationship. And there's a question you can't answer. Some of them will say, Pastor, it's not God. How did he know? How do we start answering that question? The Lord says something in your heart. You begin to translate it as advice. Because it's not making any sense. It doesn't make any sense to say, Thus says the Lord, that's not your wife. It doesn't make any sense. So you begin to ask questions so that you arrive together with the person at a conclusion that this person cannot be the one. And at the end of everything, the person may now think you are against them. Because they heard a voice say, that's her. I told you before, what Moses heard at the top of the mountain as the voice of the Lord through the ministry of an angel. At the base of that mountain, Aaron heard it as the sound of thunder. That simply means if Aaron never respected Moses as his leader and came down from that mountain where he heard the clear voice of an angel and tells them, God said, let's move ahead. Aaron would have misunderstood that voice of an angel that he heard as sounds of thunder. And he would translate the meaning to be, let's go for a war. I heard thunder. It means war. Moses would say, no, that thunder you heard simply means sit down and eat food. That simply means there must be somebody who has gone ahead of you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Whether you like it or not, as regards destiny, that you come to something and say, God said this. It's called submission. And he said, although you probably heard God, let me just be honest with you, God does not talk like this. Sister, but I heard this. Calm your spirit down. We'll get it figured out soon. Just be doing other things. Forget this thing you thought God said. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. You are too young to gamble with your life. I teach more of young people here. I pass some of 80% of you are young. You are too young to gamble with your life. This is the best time to make good use of your life. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Before 25, 20, 26, 27, 30, 35, 40, you should have really touched, you should have come to that equilibrium of destiny. You know what you ought to do. You have everything figured out. You know where you are going to. You know, you should have arrived. And just be enjoying destiny. Not be moving haphazardly looking for where to find rest. Like a wanderer. I was talking to some boys recently. They came to my house. I said, you see, the sad reality about the church is that there are people who are 42 who have not gotten to the place of destiny. They've not had sense yet. You are a music director. You are 35 years. Now you've left your church. What you are doing is that you are moving from one church to another and you are singing. You don't have your church. Your pastor now cannot talk to you. And you are 35. Now you are 42. That's what you are still doing. You are trusting God for invitation to get honorarium. And that is what they want to model young people to start doing. When you are faithful in your church, they will call you and say, you cannot grow there. You ask yourself, have you grown? Look at them if they say they've grown and let them describe what growth means. Look at their life. Define the growth you are seeing there. Growth is not outer demonstration of just activities, camouflage. You come and snap with a car and say, God is wonderful. I remember I told Pastor Emma the other day, somebody came many years ago in our former venue. They invited him to sing. And he was saying a testimony that did not sit well with my spirit. He said, I don't, as I'm talking to you, I've never seen my certificate. Hi. My spirit jumped. I said, sing song. Nobody told you to come here. What are you insinuating? And I have young people who are students. Somebody is telling them that he has not seen his certificate, but God has blessed him, so he's not by school. Nobody asks you to talk about school or certificate. I wish I was able to off that microphone that day. I would have off that microphone. Now that you don't have the certificate, and so what? Look at what people are doing. You are boasting that you don't have a certificate. What is now the success of your life? You are singing from one church to another. People are getting into space and are discovering things and are doing things for the Lord. You are. I'm not saying ministry in songs is not important. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But that's where everything starts and stops. This culture has raised a lot of lazy churchgoers, lazy Sammies. They don't want to use their ear and hear work. As they are singing the song, they just know that they will come to that point where they will now have a team. They'll start training the team, drummer. And you see, you people will come to that point that drummer will get work, keyboardist will get work. We'll see what you start doing. When drummer see offer of 1.5 million in an oil company, we'll see who will drum for you. When we come to that point that everybody now have sense, let's see what you'll be moving with. A point will come, drummer will know that it's time to settle down and have a family. We will know what will happen. And the only way, the only place a drummer can have a family and still be functioning for God and playing drum is a local church. Watch the churches in the U.S., the Pentecostal churches. You will see old man who has grandchildren leading praise. And he sings better than anybody you have ever seen and you haven't looking up to in this country. But he's leading praise in the church. And his grandson can come and say, take him away. He's very excited. You see old women in choir. That's why I used to tell Pastor Emma, allow old women to join TGC. Let them come with their children. Teach them do re mi fa sol la ti do. Very soon, we'll create somewhere that they will be able to stand. If they can't hold mic, they will stand with their babies and be moving like this. We'll create it for them. Some of you want to join the choir. You are just wondering whether you are too old. There will be space for you very soon. Very, very soon. Are you here this wonderful morning? So there are some kind of wrong cultures that will never allow you to manifest destiny. You can't manifest destiny that way. There are some of you, you have friends who they are in their fourth church now. Fourth church. They also leave the fourth church because they will be offended by the MD very soon. To their fifth church. You know them. Immediately the atmosphere is not conducive for their foolishness again. They are changing church. Some, if we allow them now, as I'm teaching the word, they want to be somewhere leading praise. As I'm teaching the word now, one of my boys is leading. We deserve the glory. Is it not God's work we are doing? The one who blackmail us with those kind of talk. Even though it's God's work, there's order in the church. Your pastor cannot be teaching the word of God. You are somewhere leading people into worship. It's an important thing you are doing, but you need to hear the word of God because that is your own school where God has put you. When people are taking lectures, you should not go and be doing another thing. It is called beautiful nonsense if you have played football before. Let me give an instance. Somebody dribble. Let's say, for instance, that Messi is dribbling and finally does not score. For instance, what do we call that? Okay, let me use another person in case you have problem with that. Let's say, for instance, that you now, you are dribbling because some people say I'm going against Messi. That's not what I'm trying to do. You dribble. Then you now play the ball over the net. What is it called? Beautiful nonsense. So you are singing everywhere. You are not receiving the word of God. Then finally, you start masturbating and womanizing. What is it called? I was discussing with Pastor Peter the other day. A lady was telling him she's not going to any church in this town. He said, why? She said, some of these people you are putting on flyer. This one has made me pregnant. I've removed child for this one. Blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. Even though she has her own problem, why would you test everybody? That one is there. But, I said, what is wrong with you? Well, some first person dealt with you. How was the second one able to deceive you too? And she said she would not go anywhere. That's what I was telling one time. I said, be careful people you invite here. I don't want problems. Don't go and invite somebody that has made ladies pregnant. So that they will not hate our church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why, as a man of God, grow to a point that the only people that sing are your choir members. Grow to that point. Because they are the people you trust. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They are the people you are discipling. We are coming to that point. You know, I prophesied it. We are coming to that point. A time will come, pastors will understand the truth. Pastors will understand the truth. I heard a story recently in Abuja that the man invited somebody. The guy said, it must be 2.5 million or he's not stepping his leg out from his house. And the pastor said, no problem. He shared 2 million for the church, the choir members. When he shared the 2 million, nobody got back to the guy. He was wondering what really happened. So when he tried calling, the protocol said, don't worry, you don't need to come again. Pastor said, we should just leave you. That we celebrate you. He got so disturbed, he attended the program. He sat down, not in minister seat, in congregation. Nobody brought him to the front. Watched the choir perform, was blessed by the performance. And went back home. I said, back career, this is what will start happening. And the pastor said he needs to be discipled. He's not a Christian. I had another one that happened years ago. The man said it must be 5 million. They sent him the 5 million. When he came for the program, they said he should sit down. He sat down in minister seat. The program finished from day one to the last day. He did not minister. He now went to the GO and said, sir, this is the last day. I don't know, is it today that I'm ministering? He said, let's see about it. You can go. He sat down, program was almost finishing. The minister has not come outside for the word yet, the GO. So he went and lied down on the ground. He said, daddy, I'm very sorry. He said, what are you sorry about? He said, I'm very, very sorry. He said, don't you have your 5 million? He said, I have, sir. What is your problem? You should be happy. I thought that's what you wanted. He said, no, sir. It's not the money I wanted. So they advised him, he still did not minister. He wanted to collect, give back the money. They did not receive it. So they advised him, and that was the last day he ever came there. They left him with the advice for free. I told somebody, I said, days are coming. You see, this thing is looking like camouflage. You see, somebody will be crying on stage. Yeah, I will follow you. He has charged 5 million naira. And church beg him, they don't have. He say, if they don't have, they should leave. Church now borrow. He's not crying. Anyway, you go, I will follow. Lead the way, I will follow. Lead which way? Lead which way? You know, I said something yesterday. I said people are having some problem with what I said. That if anybody wear a ring, plait their hair, put a nose ring, don't sing the song in GCMI. Somebody said there will be no song to sing. I said, we'll sing hymns. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus, the Son. Dun, da, ba, 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 ba. At least it's even sounding nicer than, songs are unbelieving song. Those days we sit, this is how we start in church. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Somebody will kneel down and be crying. The kind of songs they even sing now will never allow you to kneel down. You want to play with God. You can't be serious with God. You'll be tempted to tell God, oh Jesus. It's the truth. But go and listen to your hymns. On Christ the solid rock I stand, oh Lord the crown, the sinking sand. Oh Lord the crown, the sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and right. You see, now you are feeling heaven already. The way you... I'm not against the Afro whatsoever. But my problem with the Afro is that the Afro are beginning to look like Burna Boy. That's my problem. They're beginning to look like Davido. You see, somebody is dancing, doing Afro now. The same people that dance for P-Square are dancing for him. The same dress code. Is it entertainment or worship? Then when they talk, you feel like we're jealous. What are we jealous about exactly? Talk what we're jealous about. Nobody wants to touch that hair. Me, I will touch it. I'm Prophet Simon. I'm not begging you to come to the church. I was telling Pastor Emma the other day, I said, if you don't have serious people who want to go, let them go. Nothing can be done against, but for the truth. When God called me, he did not mention your name. I did not even know it after 5 years. Why should you scare me? When God called me, I was alone. I told somebody, you got to a young minister. I said, you got to be bold like Jesus, else you will never see the word of God manifest in your life. He was crying just how many months in ministry that some people left him. I said, why are you crying? Sister, but they promised me that if we start, we'll move the nations together. Said, everywhere will first blow now, right? Nation movers have moved. Sister, how can I move? How can this ministry work? I said, how can it not work? I said, when God called you, did he call you people corporately? He said, no. I said, tell me where God called you. I want to hear that story. He said, sir, just one evening, when I finished praying, I was caught up in the vision. I said, good. Was anybody watching you in the vision? He said, no. I said, God called you alone, isn't he? I said, yes. I mean, he said, yes. I said, move alone. Continue. He said, but the people I have now are untrained. I said, that's what God wants. God wants it to be that at the end, you give him glory. People will say it is him. He doesn't want anything that will suggest to people that there was human strength that was added. He wants to take all the glory. That is why God likes things like 300 army of Gideon. If it was 3,000, he wouldn't get the glory. When it was 300, he said, okay, now let's do it. So that at the end, Gideon will have no doubt. Their opposition will have no doubt that there's something external beyond this 300 that got this thing done. No connection, no nothing, rose up to the top. But you need God. You know God needs your input, your input of faith. I was talking to leaders yesterday. I said, what is the impossible thing that you are thinking of that will cause you to show your faith, to stir your faith into action? All this small thinking cannot fade. We can't use faith for small thinking. It is something we can probably figure out. When you carry 300 to go and fight 3 million, now we have to trust something external. When the vision in your head is too big compared to the kind of environment you live in and the resources you have at hand, you see that the person is praying every day before they open their shop. People who have small visions, small shop, one shop will close their prayer life. One shop. One shop will close their devotion to God. I don't have time because of business. It's because you want to die in that your street. Your vision is too small. It is for that ungwa, that area. But if you have this heavy vision, you have to come to God on a Tuesday service, kneel down and pray and worship. Because where you are going to is only God that can help you reach there. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people weary. They are dead. If your business is killing your prayer life, your devotion to God, that's not any vision. Yes, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people are what? Weary. They are dead. If your small business, that's why God says that small business is equivalent to no vision. That is why now you can't come to church again. You don't have vision yet. If you have real-time vision, I've been using this example. I'll use it one more time. Just a little event that happened in the house. I heard them shouting, oh, glory, praying in tongues. And I said, what are you excited about? And he came and showed me a private jet looking so beautiful. And in all honesty, when I looked at it, I said, is this what is making you shout? I said, yes, sir. We'll get into it, sir. I said, wow. Now, this does not shake any hair on my body. And the day I have my private jet and get into it, it will not be surprising because I've seen myself in different private jets. But that's not one of the main purpose. My main purpose for money is to turn nations upside down for Jesus. When I think about money, that's the only thing I see. That will get into our auditorium. Everything is perfect for the free flow of the word and angels. And the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In the Old Testament, the Bible said when Solomon was done, he didn't need to invite the presence of God. The presence of God said, I can tell this one belongs to me. That you are hearing the word and it is entering well. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? We can moderate the AC. Let it not be too cold for some sleepers in the room. Arrange everything for the free flow of the word. Bosses that can go for mission. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have like 20 buses per village. We are going to turn the village upside down. This is my vision or this is my dream. We can enter Ikpayongo. We start from our place, Jerusalem. When we finish Okpoga, Ikpayongo, Konshisha, Abo, Ado, Okpoku, Okpoga, Oju, Mention them for me. If I'm not mentioning your village, please just shout. Save your village. I'm listening. Logo, Apa. What? Wanune, thank you. And etc. Would you want us to get into your village and turn the village upside down for Jesus? Are you listening to me? When we think about money, that's what we think. Not enjoyment. Even though enjoyment is very important. You know, my wife traveled, so I was speaking to one of the ladies in the house with the many men in the house. There are very plenty working in the house. The ladies are many men. And I know I give the example like that. It's the way people hear things. All right? And I said to her, the way you cook this food and just put this thing, I don't eat like that. And I said to her, I like enjoyment. She just looked into my eyes. I said, yes. If there is no meat, tell me, buy meat. I like to enjoy my life. Are we together? I'm not one person that carry money and save to make more money alone and not eat food. I save and invest and I eat very good food. That's why you have a lot of money now. Go and treat your sickness with it. They say the operation now is 10 million. That's all you've got in 10 years. Tell somebody, enjoy your life. Oh. You have money in your account. You can't remember the last time you ate banana. The last time you took orange. Even egg, you can't remember. Everything piggy verse. Any small thing piggy verse. You are more hungry. They sent you money. Something that you just know that God wants you to eat something now. Piggy verse. So I'm a city taker. In the name of Jesus. So you see, they couldn't discern the times and season, even though Jesus was standing before them. Now, Jesus called them out because they had high natural intellect, but total spiritual deadness. They could analyze market trends, look at the clouds, predict economy shifts, adjust their physical attire for the weather. Yet when the Messiah was standing right in front of them, when the entire era of the law was shifting into the era of grace, they were completely oblivious. Now we do the same thing today. We are expert at reading political climates, financial markets. There are some people that know what they call that thing now. This market for money, Forex. They know Forex, politics, cultural trends. We read every news headlines, check every stock index, yet we walk into our homes and our churches and our prayer closet totally blind to what God is shifting in the realm of the spirit. Now, if you can change your clothes because you see rain in the physical sky, you ought to be willing to shift your habits when God moves the spiritual climate around you. You can tell, like I always tell my guys in the house, I say, when God says your season of the flight, be anticipating a season that will push you into flight. Don't misunderstand the season. So let me say this part. If you misdiagnose your season, you will misuse your energy. Think about how absorbed it would be to walk outside in the middle of a freezing blizzard wearing shorts and a trunk top, holding a beach ball. What I mean is that when snow is falling, probably in the UK, instead of you to wear cardigan, you are wearing singlets and short knicker. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Are you not in trouble? You're in big trouble. You would freeze to death, not because the weather was inherently evil. It's not evil weather, right? But because your attire was out of alignment with the climate. You see that? Too many believers are spiritually hypothermic because they are using summer strategies in winter season. In the winter season, God is asking you to build deep. Hidden roots in the dark where nobody is watching. Take root downward, that's what I mean. But if you try to force a public summer harvest in the middle of winter, you will burn out, get frustrated, and accuse God of being silent. More like when you hear people say, God, where are you? And in prison season, this is how it will be. God is cutting away relationships. He will be cutting away relationships sometimes. He will be cutting you away from platforms and strategies. Some relationships, God will cut you away from them. Platforms, strategies that served you yesterday so that you can bear double fruit tomorrow. But if you treat pruning like an attack from the devil instead of preparation for the Father, you will fight the very shares designed to save your life. Now stop calling your seasons of preparation season of punishment. Stop asking God, why is this taking so long? And start asking, what are you cultivating in me right now? What are you what? I said something on Tuesday, I want to build on that. I said the trap of flight without flight school. I said that right? How many of you still believe it's your year of the flight? Now ask your neighbor, have you gone through the flight school? Every January, like I said, many people come out, they say the award for the year and etc. So we know it's our year of the flight, so I'll use that. Now everyone shouts, claps, and posts on the social media, it's my year of the flight. But by June, nothing has taken off. We are actually in August, and you are wondering, where are we flying to? They are sitting in the same office, dealing with the same financial stress, struggling with the same bad character. They get bitter and say, the prophecy was fake. God forgot about me. You know, sometimes these comedians even talk down pastors. They say, they come and give word for the year and nothing happens. But look at the order, like I said last Tuesday. Prophetic word for the year, for instance, which is year of the flight. Now put an arrow by the side. Cannot write misinterpretation. This is a misinterpretation people get. They want instant elevation. Instant elevation. They want to just start flying. Now, the reality. God assigns flight school. That's reality. It's not instant elevation. He assigns what? Flight school. And flight school involves three categories I've put here. If you're a pilot, you can tell. You can go and make your research. Ground school and mechanics or mechanics. Stimulator endurance testing. High altitude pressurization. These three categories are more like the syllabus that all of the things you need to know in a flight school covers. Now the frustration you may get, the next arrow, is calling training an enemy or an attack. But listen very carefully. Before a commercial pilot ever touches the throttle of, let's say, Boeing 777, carrying hundreds of lives. How many lives? How many lives? Hundreds of lives. They spend hundreds of hours in a simulator. They study aerodynamics, emergency procedures, and instrument flight rules. They are tested under simulated engine failures and catastrophic storms. Stimulated what? Engine failures, catastrophic storms. In other words, when engine wants to fail, they will tell them to, is it drive the plane, I will say now? Fly the plane. When engine, how many of you want to fly a plane when the engine wants to fail? So take it up. These are the trained pilots. Because one day they may encounter, even if it's the best plane. You know, some of us who drive cars can tell you that you can buy a car today, engine can knock today. You can buy a car what? Engine can knock what? Because of one little mistake. Just radiator. They don't have water. Engine has not. You are poke. You are replacing a new engine. Or you are repairing the old engine, which is very, very painful. So they vision seasons like that, and so they get the people really trained. Are we together? Now, catastrophic storms. When the atmosphere is not okay, the climate is not okay. You may want to run. The pilot will not run. He has been trained for seasons like that. You hear people saying that, it was not okay, bizarre, we had this experience and etc. But thank God, the pilot was able to bring us, God was able through the pilot to bring us home safely. Yeah, the input of God there is there massively, but the guy was also what? Trained. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Now, when God gives you a word about flying, He immediately assigns you to flight school. But the problem is that when we say you're sitting on the flight, and we gave an instruction for flight school, some people refuse to go to flight school. I can beat my chest and tell you, as a pastor in the beginning of the year, I told everybody, go and learn a skill. Did I say that? Even if I told you it's your year of the flight, I told you learn a skill. And I told some of you how the skill that you're going to do better this time by training yourself better. Some of you were working in certain places. I called you personally. And I said, don't put all your eggs here. Learn so much. Apply elsewhere. Get bigger so that nobody will throw you out one day. And you now become helpless. Did I say that? But not everybody bought into the flight school either, because they probably didn't see it as a flight school. They couldn't discern properly what the Lord was doing in that season. Meanwhile, it's not too late. He brings new tests of discipline. That's what the flight school means now. He puts you under strict leadership. Somebody says strict leadership. Yes, like you have here. That one, there is no doubt. Firstly, He brings you new tests of discipline. Secondly, He puts you under strict leadership. The person does not want mediocrity. It has to be done when He says, get it done. Get it done now. You waste no second. You get it done. Because He's training you for something bigger. You get to a point that when you do like that, you'll be sacked. Not now, right now, when you do it, you'll be corrected with a loud voice probably. But you will not be sacked. What if we don't get it right here and we allow you to do it wrongly at the top? What will happen? You just celebrated God giving you a job of 10 million naira per month. But they sacked you the next minute. Because when they say get it done, you thought. You know, like I talked to my people. I said, when somebody said I thought, sir, I used to feel like crying for the person. Why would you thought? You should be sure of what you are doing. Are we together? For assumption is the lowest form of what? Why will you thought? You thought. Are we together? He starves your ego and demands accuracy in the small things. You didn't get it right. And the leadership tells you, why did you miss it? Say, sir, you are not supposed to miss it. And some people may now go back, withdraw a little bit and say, they are not considerate. I really had a hard time today before I left my home. My this happened in the house, and after I tried and came, this is what I get. I'm fed up. They are not understanding. The reason why God puts you under that kind of leadership is so that you don't have an excuse to move. Because you get to places where your car will break down, the rest they will still sack you. So God is training you to come to that point where if your car breaks down, take your car down and make it. At least you made it and we are not sacked. And you are sustaining a job that will buy more cars in the future. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Like somebody who comes to church late and say, maybe my leadership meeting, and say, I went to make my hair. How did we get there? You know, some of you may miss church this morning and it's not a problem until you get to the leadership. Why did you miss church, Sister Vero? Pastor, sir, I was making my hair. Pastor may hug you and say, oh, the hair looks so fine. So you now graduate to another level in church. And they say, why are you not in church? I went to them, what? It's your hair that made it to miss a meeting that Jesus wants to speak to you about. To speak to you. So I started making the hair. Oh my God. Raise that chair up. Then you go back home. They say, why is your hand paining? You say, Pastor, punish me. What did you do? I was making my hair. And time went. And I came to church late. And He punished you? What kind of a man of God is that? That's insane. Don't go to that church again. Say, I'll still go. Because in your heart, you know that something is not right. But they put one test in BSU. Let's take for instance computer science. And they said the test is by 5:30. You see slay queens at the gate by 4:30. Begging the security man, please, oh, our destinies are at stake. We have tests. Slay queens that will not allow Mary Kay and the rest rest. They are at the gates with their face the way God gave them. And if, for instance, they will still do the makeup, they wake up by 3:30 and still do the makeup to make it for that test. But when it comes to the things of God, there's this laziness. There's this total. Somebody can give you a very. When it comes to church, the excuse people give is the most useless excuse that ever hit the earth. Why are you not in church? I was working so hard yesterday. My back was now paining me. I wanted to come, but I said, since it's Sunday, I should rest so that I can resume work tomorrow. Sir, Sundays are the only days I wash my clothes. There are no days I wash, only on Sundays. The day you should come and serve God, out of all the days of the week, the person that gives you oxygen, that keeps you, protects you, and etc., is the day you choose to wash clothes. I remember my former compound. I used this Jesus coming syndrome to deal with the lady. She was just talking to me on Sunday morning. I was outside, just sat down. I said, why is it that you wash clothes every Sunday? I said, Pastor, now my work, oh, I for become your member, not this cloth. I said, today looks so wonderful. It looks like Jesus will come today. I said, Pastor, what did you say? I said, the way the Bible predicted the second coming, the cloud is looking like that. I said, Pastor, why are you talking about second coming this morning? I said, no, what is bad about second coming? Are we not ready for the Lord? Are you not ready for the Lord? She said, I'm not ready. I said, why are you not ready? She now said, why will God come and I'll be washing clothes on Sunday morning? I said, so you know. You know that it is not right that God will come and you are washing clothes on Sunday. His own day, you choose it to wash clothes. She said, Pastor, from next Sunday, I'll not miss you. I said, I thought you would take back that cloth inside and say, let's go to church. But guess what? From next Sunday, she did not miss. That thing was alive in her heart. She always joke with it. She says, since the day Pastor told me Jesus may come the day I'm washing clothes, I don't want it to ever happen. On Sunday morning, some people, that's when they watch movie. That's the day they are free. They have mind to put season one. Even live service we did not get as a church. In fact, they are complaining that Pastor is taking time in live service. You get one movie, I want to watch. Pastor Simon, they take time for it. They take time for church. Then when they finish, they start watching season 1, season 2, season 3. Which destiny do you want to fulfill? Even that your business, you cannot make it in that business with that kind of character that you have. Because at least you are not even listening to the word of God. Read materials on that business. Read materials on the business. Tell somebody flight school. If you misread that season, you'll call your training an attack of the enemy. You'll complain about the very classroom designed to build your internal engine capable of sustaining high altitude pressure. Because you want to get high, isn't it? You cannot operate on high altitude promises with low discipline positioning. The classroom isn't a delay, it is a runway. You know what they call runway, right? Before the plane will take the flight, it will move on the ground. Ooh, then it will take that flight. Are you here this wonderful evening? Morning, sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Daniel 2:21, very fast. We are looking at the blueprint of wisdom now in manifesting the glory of God. So let's see how God transitioned Daniel. Daniel answered in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. Next part of scripture. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. And at the bottom of everything, what did the Bible say? He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Now notice the sequence. God does not start a seasonal transition by changing your external circumstances yet. He starts by imparting what? Wisdom. He starts by what? Imparting what? Wisdom. If you must change, if you must see change in your life, the first thing God will impart in your spirit man is wisdom. The revelation of His word. Now, wisdom is the bridge from obscurity to glory. Of course, you know what the biblical meaning of glory means, especially from the root Hebrew word, kabod, something weighty, of heavy value, something of substance. A season of glory is not just to bring lights and shouting. It is an increase in spiritual weight. Now, if God dumps 100 pounds of glory onto a character that can only support 10 pounds of pressure, listen to it again. If God dumps what? 100 pounds of glory onto a character that can only support 10 pounds of pressure, you will collapse. The glory will what? Cause you to be collapsed, isn't it? Wisdom expands your structural capacity. Wisdom expands your what? Structural capacity. It fixes your character flaws in private before God exposes you in public. If not, when you get exposed in public, that bad character in private will destroy you. So the word of God will fix your what? Character flaws in private before God will expose you in public. When God gives you divine wisdom, He gives you the keys to solve problems that baffle the world. Problems, what anybody cannot do, you can do. What anybody cannot do, you find yourself doing it. We do a lot of things today, especially in the freelancing world. The Lord spoke to my heart sometimes back. He asked me, "Son, what do you have?" It was a very powerful question. And I looked around. He said, "For what you are dreaming about, what do you have?" I said, "God, I don't think I really have the right structure." He said, "You do. Take your people in tech. Gather them. I will use them." I said, and I called for an assembly. I said, all of them should come to my house. So I started training them. A few failures yet. Seems quite disappointing. Came to a point and I said to them, we'll keep on pushing. And I came to a point, no failure again. Anything, we passed it. If I turn here, sir, we pass. If I turn here, sir, we pass. The pass became more than the failures. More than the failures. Are you forgetting I'm trying to explain to you? Why? Because inbuilt in us all this why is the capacity to do these things already, but we never knew. Having eternal life plus all of this, your technical skills, is a big plus. When eternal life contact touches those things that God, that you have learned in time, there is no limit to what you can do. You just hear a voice just tell you, do it like this. And when you do it like this, it's perfect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are just sure there's this holy boldness that erupts from your spirit right now. We have not been given the spirit to fear again. Sometimes I tell somebody, go and write that assessment. Now, we never used to do it like that. And even the person is looking scared, I say, do it. Let nobody help you. Because sometimes, you know, you think two heads are better than one. But you see, the right head that can solve the problem, if he doesn't believe it, he will share. The wisdom he's supposed to use to solve that problem now will be dispersed because of fear. It will not be gathered in one place. So, because of fear now, he's relying on this head who is not very interested in that thing. He's relying on this head. The head is saying, you two, what can I do? You two. And he's now losing confidence. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. So sometimes I say, you go to that room and go and pass the assessment. Don't worry, if you fail, it will not kill you. But go and pass it. I will keep on hearing. Some will say, sir, I don't think I will pass this thing. I say, you can pass it. Nobody will help you. Go and pass. And you observe and see people's strength, and some, I believe there's no weaknesses, but you can see those who can do this area. And now you are realizing what you've got. You know how to channel your strength. You know how to channel your energy. It's in the place of training that all of these realizations happen. If you don't dare, impractical. If you don't dare to start, you will not know what you can do. You don't know the adjustment you need to make. While others panic over changing politics or economics downswings, wisdom gives you the eyes to see that God is simply shifting earthly kings to establish his kingdom. Now, I titled this subtopic, Living with Spiritual Urgency. Tell somebody, live with spiritual urgency. I said, when wisdom enters your life, it destroys slothfulness and replaces slothfulness with what? Holy urgency. Tell somebody, holy urgency. Romans 13:11. Let's read together. Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Next, Ephesians 5:15. When you discern is your season, you are not slothful. You discern is your season. Sometimes Satan will be in the greatest crisis. You find yourself doing some wrong habits you have led before. You got to fight. Tell somebody, fight. Don't miss the season. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 16. Because the days are evil. You're getting old if nobody has told you. Ephesians 5:16. Time waits for no one. You know that, right? Whether you like it or not, you must get old. Now, redeeming the time in the original Greek is exagorazo kairos. It's not my father's language, so just take it the way it is. Exagorazo kairos. Exagorazo, then kairos. Or kairos. It means to buy up the opportune moment. To buy up the opportune moment. It is a commercial term used for buying up all of a commodity when the price is right, because you know the window is closing. More like you see bonanza. That means in prayer. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Prayer is more like God giving you bonanza moment. When you apply wisdom, bonanza moment. It's an opportunity to make life easy for yourself in the future. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you apply your heart to wisdom, life becomes easy. Bonanza moment. You buy back time. You buy back opportunities. You buy into opportunities when you take advantage of God's wisdom, when you live by God's wisdom, and when you pray in the Spirit. Now, living with urgency does not mean living panicked, anxious, or rushed. Urgency means living aware. Are we together? It means realizing that every spiritual season carries an expiring date. Yes, it's the truth. Now, a season of hiddenness will end. A season of open doors will close if you don't take advantage of the season. A season of divine access will transcend before you if you don't take advantage of that season. We are not saying God in his mercy will not bring it back again, but when it's time, why not take advantage of it? Now, if you spend this current time being spiritually slothful, not praying and etc., ignoring spiritual discipline, that's what I mean, sleeping through your alarm. When it's time you want to do something and read something, the alarm will ring, you hit the alarm, you know. Waiting for an easy shortcut, the path of least resistance, where there's no resistance. You will sleep right through your window of visitation. You will sleep right through it. Now, last point before we pray. And this is the most important point. I call it a subtopic. Please listen very carefully before we go. No distraction. I call it the climbers looking like Jesus. The climbers looking like Jesus. I call it the climbers of everything. And I call it looking like Jesus in brackets. Now we've come to the central question that every believer wants to ask or has been asking. When is it my turn? Have you ever asked that before? When is it going to be my turn? When does my season of breakthrough actually opens up? When will it be my turn for open heavens? Now here is the ultimate law of divine timing. Listen very carefully. Your time arrives when you look like Jesus. Your time arrives when you look like Jesus. When you now look like Jesus, your time has arrived. Pay close attention to me. Two different things. To be born again and to look like Jesus, two different things. And that is why in between is what the Bible calls the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind. The problem we have today is that some people assume that like they are practically like Jesus. Alright? Without really staying on the word so much so that their minds are renewed to actually be like Jesus. Because the Bible said in the beginning, God created us in His image so that we will live like Him. Are we together? So if the image of Jesus has not been formed in your heart as your own school of thought, your own thinking, you can never live like Him. That is why He came as the word logos. A thought pattern. He came as a thought pattern. The word. So that as you think in your heart, you live like Him. Are we together? Please follow me carefully. I'm closing now. Your time arrives when you look like Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. We'll read together. Ephesians 1 and 3. Very fast media. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every word in the heavenly places where? In Christ. You've been blessed with all blessings in the world, but where is the right positioning to receiving all of this blessing? In Christ. So immediately you look like Jesus, the blessing has been given a long time ago. Just look like Jesus and access the blessing. Looking like Jesus guarantees that you are entering or have arrived in the blessing. You are not going to be blessed. You have been blessed. But how do you receive this blessing? When you look like Jesus. If it's taking time, it's because you are not like Jesus. If it seems like you have been in the wilderness for a long time, it is because you are not like Jesus. The parable of the seed and the sower. The parable of the talents paints a picture. And I agree with that very, very true. If you look at it very carefully, God gave some 2 talents, God gave some 3, God gave some 5. Look at the return. The one God gave one, kept the one. Right? And when God came, He gave God back the one. And God said, you are a very foolish person. You are wicked and ungrateful. Isn't it? He gave one back. In other words, why did God give him one? The question has been answered. God saw his capacity. He can only manage one. That's why he brought one back. But for those who have been qualified through time because they manage one effectively, what did God give them? 2, 5. And God's thinking was proven in through their result. They brought double. It simply means what you have right now is what God thinks you should have. And you will never be better if you have much more. You still come back to this one. Except your thinking becomes right. Some people think, what I need to become better is money. You don't need money. You need the right mindset. Because if we give you the resources, it will still be there like that. Stock, no increase. Because your thinking is not right. At the end, God showed us the kind of person that individual is. The Bible says God told him, you are wicked and what? Ungrateful. Paint a picture of those days when they give you meat that is small. You don't even touch it. How many of you have been there before? Because you are ungrateful. You are telling your dad the meat is too small. And your dad likes that. No problem. Then he will tell you, carry that meat and eat now. If not, I'll break your head. The ones that leave you to have it all, they will regret it one day. In my house, they did not burn you well. Our own is not even that they give you meat, you will now have a problem. It's that they give you the meat, you won't bite it immediately. Like you're eating your dad, he gives you meat, you know. He say, Simon, my dad is even lenient, it's my mom. I bite the meat. What? Stand up and kneel down. From eating to kneeling down. What happened? I gave you meat. You bite the meat. I said, Mom, am I supposed to kiss the meat? Well, I did not say that before they killed me, but if I said that, I would have not been alive to be preaching to you people today. But in my heart, like, you know, sometimes mothers will hear you and say, if you like, insult me in your heart. Like, I'm kneeling down for biting meat. And the woman will take the kiss to my father. And why did you bite your meat? Do you know that that thing is a very bad thing? Sometimes they'll begin to bring culture. You cannot live long if you behave like this in the village. I'm like, what do you live long and meat nine? Where's the connection? So you see, before elders, they gave me meat to bite. Oh, you are gone. You don't even put the soup close to the meat. When you are taking the soup, you take it far from the meat. If they see that you are trying to put the soup close to the meat, they'll say you are a greedy person. And they don't want you to live long. And he said, in our culture, meat has killed a lot of people. I said, hey. That they know you have Yue. Yue. Have you heard that word before? Yue. Means you are not a disciplined child if you eat meat too much. Like if you eat meat when it's not the season for meat. When are you supposed to eat the meat? When they are finished. Elders have washed their hands. Then you now turn and eat the meat. I said, no. I can't wait to be an elder. No. No. I want to be eating my meat when I ought to eat my meat. But you know those ones that they allow them everything to slide? That's what translated to them doing Yahoo today. Those ones that they give them meat, they say it's not enough. They are the Yahoo boys of today. The ones they hit their hand and say, kneel down. They did not do the Yahoo. Most children, they discipline well and not spoil it. The ones that their parents are claiming that they love them too much and allow everything to slide, they are the ones disturbing the society today. They are the ones. They don't have money. The next thing is they want to join WUKOP. Small hunger that is worrying everybody. Everybody is soaking gari. Their own time, they say, no. It's Indomie I must eat. Now they are dating their father's elder brother. I don't mean blood brother. The person senior their father, they are dating the person. How will your father talk to you now that you listen to him? Talk less of us. There are the generation of ladies that will look at young boys and say they are small boys. Have you heard girls like that? Somebody that senior them with 1 year, few months, they say he's a small boy. How can I? He's a child. They don't do their hand like this. If you observe, now that they are growing old, they are looking for small boys to marry. Are you observing that? The small boys now are looking for young girls to marry. So there is a problem now. Because those allergies are already married. Now they have repented. They want to face their family. They've broken up with side chicks. See, young girl, I want to face my family now. I'm getting old. I'm getting closer to my grave. I have to behave responsible now. Thank you for, I'm going to send you 2 million, 5 million to just settle you for the time we have had. God bless you. They even put God bless you at the end. Indiscipline. You like motor too much. You know, those days, I was with Pastor Peter, something happened. I didn't know it was my sister's course rep and they were going to school. The guy was privileged to have a car. So he would carry him and her and their course mate. One day I came to visit my sister. I was with Pastor Peter. She was in 200 level, I think. As I was coming to the house of my sister, like, man of God, going to my sister's house to greet her. I saw my sister entering moto. I was like, what is happening here? Pastor Peter looked into my eye. I looked into his eyes. I couldn't help it. I said, hey. She came. She shook. But she was quite confident because she knew she was not doing a bad thing, according to her. I saw the ladies, some ladies. I said, where are you people going to? Lectures. I said, lectures. Where is this guy? He was greeting me. I said, hey. Who is he? Says our course rep. I said, why is he carrying people in car? Why are you not here to study? You are not going to lectures. If it's lectures, you go to trek to lectures. You can't be going. You are not here to school. Mary, when did this start? So for someone, it's lectures. We are going to. She want to start crying. I said, my friend, pack your things and follow me. It's lectures. It's lectures. It's lectures. I said. So you want to disgrace me in the school? Everybody know you as Prophet Simon's sister. You know that time you put your God had to warn me from that. He said, so you value your reputation more than my reputation. You want to disgrace me so that people will see you and say, okay, you'll be preaching holiness, sister. I said, see, you will die in this school if you try me. You want to try me? My friend, you are not entering that car. And that's he just packed at inside. The guy came and said, guy, I said, who is it? I'll kill this Pastor Peter. I'll kill this guy. Pastor Peter had to take the guy to the front. He said, don't try that. That's my prophet. He said, he wanted to talk to the guy. I said, are you mad? People have lost their life in this kind of situation before. Before later, I calmed down. She now explained the thing to me. I said, even though, trek to school, trek. Hallelujah to Jesus. Very important. I remember those days my sister was talking with a guy outside the barracks. My father now said I should go and stop my sister from talking to a guy. So he said, so your elder brother, you see your sister talking to a guy, you can't go and ask who is that. Look at you, what kind of elder brother are you? And I went outside. I said, who are you talking to? Who is that? And when it was done, she now came and reported that she was just talking to somebody another. My father now said, why did I do that? I will never forget that in my life. This is how I was just standing. What's happening? Like, I thought you told me that I will never forget that day in my life. Then I said, it's okay. Sorry for shouting. In my mind, is it not your picking? What did you consign me? Another time will come now. You talk who born the child. Hallelujah. I never forget that event. Now, this is the ultimate view. You know, I've said that and I've said this. Now, Romans 8:31 and 2:32. Before we pray. The good preacher ends three times. This is the third time. Alright, let's read now. After all that shout, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own. Let's bow scripture. I want us to read it together. He who did not spare his own son, but what? How shall he not with him? God wants you to own all things, but not at the detriment of Jesus. If you look like him, through him, he has freely given you what? All things. Pastor, when is the time? The time is when you look like Jesus. So the time can be today. It can be tomorrow. Just embrace that yoke of discipline that will cause you to look like Jesus. Embrace it. Be very disciplined in your pursuit of anything you are doing physical, in your career. Be very disciplined with your spiritual routines. Be very disciplined. Let prayer not be suffering. Let becoming better in your career not be suffering. Balance it. Are you listening to me? When it's time to pray, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit, Apostle Kola taught me years ago. He said, pray like there is no God. Study like there is no book. Sorry, pray that like there is no book. Study like there is no God. Even though in my heart, those days, I used to say there is God. But I understand what he's trying to say. Read. When your mind gets transformed, on fire when you pray in the spirit. Carry that fresh mind. Facebook. Face chemistry. You understand it. Face for the mass. Face Python. Face JavaScript. There is nothing you don't understand with that kind of mind. Mind that have been refreshed by the fire of the Holy Ghost. What would that mind not understand? There is no, the Bible says the hidden things of God you know. Is it things that one man knows on the earth that you don't know? I was telling my team recently, I said, if we are tired, what do we say to the people who gave us electricity? It was through God, through these people. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If they never align themselves and say, ah, God, we are ready to go through this stress. We are ready to go through it. And lock themselves in 1 month, in a room 1 month, 1 week. Do you know some of these people who discovered to a very fair extent, I heard that the first man who almost discovered everything about electricity died. He died from electricity shock. The second one came. Now, some people say, you see, but the first one is the one that laid the real foundation, which I agree. But how many people would have gone to continue what killed a man? The second one heard that the man died. He said, what killed him? He said, that wire. Okay, no problem. Give me some time. Locked himself to continued. And today we have electricity. They are seeing Newtons. Why we are driving cars today and etc. Because of people like that. So why will I not spend 2 days to understand something? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? We cannot remove hard work from grace. Grace and hard work are mutually together, inclusive. They are not separated. Paul said, I thank my God because I labor more than ye all, but not me, but the grace of God. The grace of God made Paul to what? Tell somebody, labor. Now, if you read those texts carefully, God is not sitting in heaven holding a ladder or a ledger trying to decide if he should give you power, authority, peace, or provision. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He has already pledged to freely give you all things. Heaven is not running low on inventory. The hold up is never on the side of God's willingness. That's not where the hold up is. The hold up is on the side of our maturity. What is our maturity? Being like Jesus. Are you here? Now, God does not release heaven's weight to earth's immaturity. He does not. He does not. He does not withhold the blessing to punish you. He delays the manifestation to protect you. If God gave you global influence, why you still craved human approval? You craved human approval. God has dealt with me in this area especially. He wants to give you global influence, but what people say really gets to you. That influence will become an idol that destroys your soul. You will idolize whatever people are saying so much. It will become the source of your confidence. And God does not want anybody to become the source of your confidence except Him. If God gives you millions of dollars, why you still possess a selfish heart? I decided to use selfish heart purposely. That wealth would buy your pathway straight to destruction. You want to live alone and eat alone, and they say die alone. That's stalker. The delay is not denial. The delay is the love of a father who refuses to give a toddler a loaded weapon. The love of a father who refuses to give a toddler what? A loaded weapon. Imagine you give a toddler a loaded weapon. He would turn anywhere and just fire. He may even kill himself. God gives us things to the exact measure that we mirror the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When God puts you through the furnace of training, He is holding you in the fire until He can see His own face reflected on the surface of your heart. Why am I saying this fire? God is waiting to see if He can see Himself in you. He wants to see Himself revealed in you. So it may be looking like He wants to kill you, and it may be looking like God is wicked. The whole point here is so that He is seen. He wants to see that you look exactly like your Father. Because giving you everything in a twinkle of an eye is nothing to Him. He can give you. Meanwhile, He has already even given you. When your response to betrayal looks like Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, then you have grown. When your stewardship in an empty room looks like Jesus serving the forgotten, then you have grown. When your humility under false accusation looks like Jesus standing silent before Pilate, then you have grown. Any small thing you are responding, I did not do it. People are wicked. I have come to respond to the people that said, they have not grown. So God will say, wait, because where I'm taking you to, they will talk more than this. This is just level one. Where I want to take you, they will have talk shows. And somebody will swear to God that he was with you when you did it. What will you do at that time? If at this point you have sued the guy and put 50 million charge on his head, that one now you will send assassin. Because you cannot bear it. So Jesus will be like, no, don't take him there yet. We'll lose some souls that I want to help. Because those souls you want to kill in prison, God wants to still save them. Are you getting me tonight? Now, when all of this maturity are fulfilled, suddenly the windows of heaven release what was already yours in Christ. The measure of your internal transformation determines the capacity of your external manifestation. The measure of your internal transformation determines the capacity of your external manifestation. When heaven looks down at your daily posture and sees the clear reflection of Jesus Christ, your season shifts automatically. You don't have to bargain, manipulate, or kick down doors. The door swings wide open because the King has walked into the room through you. More like fulfilling the scripture that says, lift up your head, all you doors, and be you open up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall what? Step in through you. Are we together? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have you learned something this wonderful morning? Have you learned something this wonderful morning? So stay with the word. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Let me say these words more like words of assurance and encouragement. If you are probably caught up in a sin, you are in something today that has the potency to destroy this potential greatness in your life. When do you think that thing will stop? It probably started for some of you 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It will never stop. It will still be counting many years if you don't fight it to stop today. I heard a preacher many years ago, he said something that blessed me. He said, just make up your mind. Maybe people have lied to you and tell you stopping pornography, masturbation, drinking, smoking is going to be easy. He said, well, with God it is easy, but this is the truth. As long as the flesh is involved, it will be a little bit difficult because you have to fight. And you don't just fight with your normal strength. Of course, you fight with the ability of the Spirit. Like Paul said, I can do what? All things. Through what? Christ who strengthens me. He said, prepare yourself, make up your mind, and enter into this light season of suffering. Season of suffering, light season, holy season of suffering, where you are ready to fight these things to stop. Because if you don't fight it today to stop, it will never stop. Father, from today, I thank you for your grace. I stop pornography. I stop masturbation. I stop drinking. I stop alcoholism. I stop smoking today. I stop lies today. In the name of Jesus, the word begins to, you know, allow the word to be flowing from your heart. Thank you, Lord. I've been bought at a price. Then when you finish, you will feel fire. When you go out there, the first thing is a heavy trial. You will feel all the tendency to want to go back to it. But you must make up your mind. When I'm weak, God is strong. In the name of Jesus, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You feel the power of God everywhere in your being. Everywhere. Sometimes you are faced with a trial, you feel all the weakness in the world. Everything suggesting that you should go back. You refuse. Paul said the same prayer after preaching powerful sermons. He sought the Lord to remove that weakness from him that we cannot tell today. But the Bible speaking, God told Paul, he said, Paul, nothing is going to happen again from heaven because everything from heaven has been poured down. The day Jesus said, Tetelestai, the deal is done, it was poured down. He said, so Paul, right now I want to assure you that my strength can find full expression because you have now admitted your weakness. He said, for my grace is sufficient for you. Tell somebody it is sufficient. The grace you know right now is sufficient. I'm assuring you that if you make up your mind to go through this holy season of suffering to suck these wrong things in your life, God's grace is sufficient to take you through and cause you to escape, to come out victorious. Are you listening to me? Make up your mind. Tell somebody, make up your mind. I'm ready to go through this season. Say it to somebody. Go through the season. You will feel like the whole world is against you. Satan will send all of his arsenals. The Bible said the gate of hell. He will set the gate of hell. Now that I say I want to be a serious Christian, why is this thing happening? Now it's not even around spirituality yet. Something bad will now happen in your house. Suggesting God is not faithful. You have made up your mind to serve God. It's 2 weeks now. You are doing it well. Until you now hear something in your home. I beg, what's the point? I'm doing this and that. What's the point? Now your walls are weakened. Every doubt begins to enter your heart. You are feeling weary. Again, now the next thing you see yourself is doing that thing you promise yourself you'll not do again. You see Satan, he followed through the back door. He saw that the last time that's how he got you. So he tried it again. He got you again. He tried it again. He learns from the pattern. But all of a sudden he comes one day. And that day is today. He comes again that route. You made up your mind to go through those holy seasons of suffering by the power of the Holy Ghost. So that you come out from this wrong way of life. And all of a sudden you hear that daddy is sick. He has been hospitalized. He's in coma. Oh, your faith is blazing more than it was blazing before. You say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity for men to see your glory. Like Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. He assured himself that God loves him. And the next thing Jesus will say is this. He said, thank you, Lord, because you will show your glory to everybody. They will see your glory. Men will see your glory. He said, take off the stone. Take off the stone. Take off the stone. Take off the stone. You hear that wrong story, you go to where your father is. They say nobody can. There is nothing. The doctor said 3 days. Three what? In the name of Jesus, I need time to pray. You know, sometimes the atmosphere of fear and weakness can shut your faith sometimes. Jesus said, tell them to go out. Let them excuse us. But for you, since you cannot excuse them and they cannot excuse you, no problem. Close your eyes. Sometimes you behave like a madman amidst people who are very intelligent. They may think you are mad. Mm-mm. That's your only way out. You have mastered that way over time. You have seen God do it again and again and again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so you close your eye. I heard this preacher who gave this example. His father heard about the case. The father did not go to the hospital. The son heard of the case and decided to go to the hospital. It was 2 days for that guy. He's a cancer patient. 2 days for him to live. I'm not saying something. The father did not go. I'm not saying the father did not go because of unbelief. Probably he didn't hear the case. It's Pastor Bill Winston of Elevation Worship, I think they call it. No, is it Elevation Worship? The one that has a lot of hair. Pastor Bill, that wears shirts and folds his, you know, his son giving the testimony. And he went to the hospital. And when he entered, he thought he had a lot of faith according to him. But when he entered, fear gripped him. When he saw people crying, doctor's report, mother crying, father crying, the child looking helpless, mouth looking like he had this, you know, terrible situation. His faith just went back to his spirit. And he was just there, very scared. Then he called his father to come that he wants to pray. He needed support. The father came. The father was there to assist him. The father was not the one God sent there. So the father stood by him. I came to support my son. And while he was there with fear in his heart, he just picked it that the Lord wanted him to sing a song. So he started singing a song. I see miracles. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me. I think that was the song he said in the example. As he was singing the song, he said, then faith rose from his spirit. The rivers of faith rose from his spirit. He said, in the name of Jesus, he couldn't say you will be well. Because the spirit of faith has taken over. He said, in the name of Jesus, you are perfect. You know, when the spirit of God, spirit of faith takes over, you will say things and now remember you said something that you were not supposed to say. He said, in the name of Jesus, you are perfect. Your health is perfect. Then he thought of what he said. Looked at everybody. Everybody looked at him. Is he mad? He said, but he closed his eye and continued. You perfect in the name of Jesus. You know, more like you are praying and begging God, please let it work. But the beautiful thing he forgot was that God said, if your faith is as little as a mustard seed. You know what that means? In tough situations, if you are able to even show the faith small, he said, if you can show it small, I will complete it. If you can dare to show it, let it be authentic faith that you showed. If it came out just small, before fear comes, God will come and hold your hand. Just like Peter, walking on water. He dared to walk. Immediately he wanted to sing, God came and held his hand. The faith that brought him there, God said, no, I'll help you finish it. And that's what the Bible said, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you have ever won. But you must give him a basis for faith. You must think it first. It is beyond what you thought, not what the situation. You are seeing a situation, what do you think about the situation? That's where God can start working from. Beyond what you think and imagine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And all of a sudden the story says, the young man, everything, the machines were moving. They were bam, 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 bam. Things were just moving. They had to call for the doctors and many people to come and help. What is happening? What has this boy done? Have you made the boy to feel? They said 2 days, you want to kill him today? When they checked, lo and behold, everything was becoming perfect. The young boy that was supposed to die in 2 days, blood streams, everything getting perfect. And right now they are saying they want to release the boy to go back home. I'm talking about this God that we read in scripture who went to a temple and somebody had a withered hand. He said, lift up your hand. So that you have no doubt about this story. We're talking about a God that went to a tomb where somebody died for 3 days. He said, roll off the stone. Are we joking in this place, Jesus? Then all he could say was, Lazarus, come outside. And the whole universe listened to Jesus. His dead body listened to Jesus. Everything listened to Jesus. And Lazarus stood up and was coming out. They bound all of his body. He said, loose him. He's awake now. He's free. Body that has died for 3 days, all of a sudden, they became alive in a twinkle of an eye. Seconds. If you are a biologist or anatomist or a doctor, you understand what I'm trying to talk about. I mean, a cadaver. It's okay. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? I'm talking about Jesus here. Who went to a lady who was dead, the house. And while people were crying, he said she's asleep. Somebody said, Jesus lied. I said, no, he didn't lie. He has written to us in 2 Thessalonians. He said, we don't die, we sleep. He spoke the language of faith. These are everybody who wake up on Resurrection Monday. But Jesus said, for me now, I'm the determining factor. I'm the one that determines that day. I am resurrection and life. When I arrive, when the church properly understands me, we enter that era of resurrection and life. So he said, since I'm here, resurrection can happen. Life can happen. Remember, Martha said, we know he will resurrect on that day. Jesus said, the day is here. The day is here. Say, Lazarus, come back alive. I'm talking about a generation that will come to that point. A fiery generation. And I'm speaking to you and I this wonderful morning. That will call back the dead back to life. They'll call the dead back to life. They'll call the dead back to life. I'm not talking about somebody who is cold this morning. I'm talking about somebody who wants to really do mighty things for Jesus. The Bible spoke about the people before us. It said the women called their dead. They received their dead back to life. With little insufficient database. You see, this kind of thing we have burning in our spirit cannot cause us to misbehave. That is why you run to church and sit down to hear the word. You are not excited about activities. If they say, let us go and do choreography and concerts and the rest, you are like, what has it produced? There's something tangible that I want to see produced in my generation. And God will not put this new wine in old wine characters, old wine activities, old wine behaviors. He won't say people that will stand up and say, all we want is you. All we want to see is what you have said. A people that would dare to believe, then he will do exceedingly. Who they are born. A people that their life is a supernatural. The description of the word supernatural. I pray about everything. You know. I told you a story. They told me my daughter had serious jaundice when they gave birth to her. It was too serious. My wife started crying because of how the doctors don't arrange their words. They say the way it is. And it was like, why did you people not notice? The bad thing is that she noticed, but we didn't believe her. Don't joke with a woman. No. She noticed from the first day. Everybody were like, it's okay, her mom. To everybody, were like, it's her mind, he's my wife. Me too, I joined them because I felt they were more experienced. But nobody understands the child like the mother. And when we went there, they say it was very late. It may lead to blood transfusion, meaning they may remove all her blood and replace the blood. Oh, my wife bursted into tears. And I said, no, it will not work. I just went to the side. I was watching them from the side, watching her cry, watching everything happening. And I said, no, I am not a useless Christian. I did not say pastor. I said, I'm not a useless Christian. When I watched my wife crying and everything, I said, no, this is what it means for us to be called coverings. I'm going to step into this situation by the power of the Holy Ghost, and God must, it is not might, I say God must show up in this situation. So when they were done putting her drip and putting, I did not stop their process. I respected them. They put her under one light, whatever, wanted to try their luck. If it doesn't work in 2 days, then they do the whatever they are saying, the transfusion. When everybody was calm, my wife was sleeping, everybody was outside. I smuggled myself. They say nobody should enter. I entered where they kept my... Me, the father must enter. I enter. They were looking for me. I was nowhere to be found. I carried her, the drip. I removed everything. I held her on my hand. I moved this side. That's what I know how to do. I've been doing this thing from 16 years old. It must produce results today. Where something really matters. One English word did not come out of my mouth. It was up to 1 hour plus. Until, I think one of them, they were wondering, I should keep the baby back. It has been long. You know, we didn't put her in the line. And when I saw that they were concerned, thank you, Lord. And I kept the baby. I was waiting to hear the testimony. When the doctor came in the morning, I was far again watching. I didn't want to come. I was far watching. I wanted to hear. I was just looking at the lady's mouth. She said, is it not the baby that they said they wrote this about? They said, yeah, it's the baby. She's now asked which doctor wrote this. They say, it's the other. No, that my doctor is very intelligent. That means this has never happened. Do you know that? Look at it. Look at the results. This is unbelievable. You are not supposed to be in the hospital. That's when I just jumped smart and came close. And I am badon, my in-law shouted. She said, he's a prophet, actually. He said, he's a prophet. His wife too is a pastor. I said, yeah, I'm Prophet Simon. Labakosia palagadia kabalados. I don't want to give it to him. One day my daughter will hear the story that her father is a prophet, they do transfusion in her. But she will hear this testimony at least. That when she was growing, there was this thing and they needed, and daddy carried me and moved like this and moved, and they announced everything is perfect, you can go home. That's why she can't marry somebody that is not anointed. She can't. I heard a story, a lady said she saw a man, he's so fine, had all the chairs, but she sincerely cannot marry him. They say, why? She said, because I watched my father as a child. My father brought back our brother back to life in our house. My father, when they said it's a problem, my father, I don't know, he's a good guy, I respect him, but the man I must marry, in all honesty, must be anointed. She said, that man is a good Christian, but he's not anointed. I don't want to settle down for less. If you understand life, you will talk like that lady. See, life is not all about uncle, you and your husband. Pre-wedding picture, post-wedding picture, first birthday, force the man to come to the studio. Not all those kind of... Life is not all about picture. There are tougher things in life. Tougher. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There are tougher things. Prophet Kubus, my role model, one day, his child was, he died. They were playing as children. The elder brother shook the neck till the boy died. I don't know what kind of place that one. No. They were dragging stick for drum in church. True life story. And Prophet Kubus, they say he always prays and sit down like this in his room, like somebody doing this Islamic prayer. That's how they say he prays. So while I was praying, they just knocked the door. The wife, of course, had the right to enter and said, "Your son, this is what happened." And he finished his prayer and stood up. He said, "Where is he?" He said, "Come back to life." His leg, true life story. He couldn't imagine that his son died. He used his leg and hit the boy. They say the boy jacked back to life with his leg. I know as I'm saying this, some people are thinking of that guy that did election, Jege. Thinking of Jege. You sure say this thing not true? It is true. They are not lies. They are not lies. Now, you've got the anointing in your spirit. It's time to well it up. Well it up. Well it up for manifestation. Ah, this anointing can go beyond producing health. It can even produce money. The Bible said that anointed my head with oil. He said, "My cup runneth over." When we pray in the spirit to be coming like Jesus, people will think it's not a good investment. Remember, all things are yours to the degree that you are like Jesus. So if you are wise, you seek first kingdom, because when you catch this kingdom, every order. So when they think you are wasting your time, tell them, "I am making good investment. Because except I look like Jesus, my hard work will truly not pay the way it's supposed to pay." You must be at the extreme of both sides. The extreme of God, the extreme of darkness. People are doing darkness very well. You are doing God small, small. Then you want to stand out with them? When you do God well, well, and come out, see, what you exercise over them is called dominion. It's more like being in a realm where all other devils, you are asking them, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" You are in the office untouchable. 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 Nobody can touch you. There's this ministry, I think the Ministry of Land. Every time they put somebody in a particular office, it's just 3 years. Less than 3 years, the person dies. Dispute office. The office has to do with dispute. Less than 3 years, my friend died the last time. Pastor Bax. They just want to be killing people. Full of wizards and witches, some of them. Dragging people's lands, stealing people's lands, some of them. Not all of them. Some of them are nice people. And I told one of them one time, I said, "You people need to be strong in this place." I entered there. I said, "You guys, there are wizards in this your place. I've seen it. They would have killed me if I don't know what I'm doing. Because of that land this way we had." I said, "You guys need to be strong. Be strong. Do God very well. Do God very well. Get anointed. When they come around you, they scatter in many ways. You don't even know what happens in the realm of the spirit. Some of you think it's only in the night demons come. If you know what this your prayer has produced, the result it has achieved in the realm of the spirit. The Bible talks about arrows that fly by day. You think it's a joke? Some of you, if God opens your eye and you see things that bounce back, maybe you'll not be able to sleep. You'll not be able to sleep. Like a woman, a true life story. They say they kidnapped this woman. Another woman was going looking so helpless. And some of the kidnappers were saying, the one they kidnapped that came out was the one giving this testimony. She said some of the kidnappers were saying, "Let's catch her." Some say, "Leave that woman, I beg. Leave her. She doesn't look like somebody we should kidnap." One said, "Let's catch her now. What is wrong with you?" They argued till they got offended and just drove off with only that one woman they took. So when she came out and was giving the testimony, she was saying that woman they did not carry would not know what God has done for her on that beautiful day. She would think probably God is not faithful. Some things are not working. But not knowing that they were determining to carry her and probably go and use her body part for ritual. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But somehow some people fought and they just said they cannot. Years ago, a colleague of mine in Kaduna, they took the mom. Early in the morning, he woke up. He didn't know why he was praying in tongues. He was just praying in tongues. The mom went to work in NDA and New Side. He was praying in tongues. From Karatudu, she took bus, she went. What they did not know is that she entered one chance. They are taking her and they were going for their ritual or whatsoever during the festive period. But that morning, he picked it. He just woke up and the Holy Ghost said, "Pray in tongues." The Bible said, "We have received the fervent of the Spirit." That burden was so heavy in his heart. He began to pray till he felt so much satisfaction. Then he stopped. Guess what? The mother came back home. They called them that the mother, somebody was able to pick the mom. They just dropped the mother on the ground, on the road. Somehow they got offended, just pushed her, she fell, and just sat on the ground helpless. And somebody was able to hear her phone ring and pick and say, ah, you know this woman, if you know her, come to this other place. One chance people carried her and just push her out of the car. They had to rush there, take her to the hospital. She was okay and brought her back home. When everything was happening, we were talking with him. He said, Simon, my brother, I received the fervent of the Spirit. I would never joke with my spiritual life. Oh, this thing would have been tears this afternoon in our house. Would have been crying that I have lost my mother. But because I was able to not be slothful and pick the fervent of the Spirit and pray just 1 hour in tongues, sir. 1 hour in tongues. This is what he saved me from. 1 hour in tongues, sir. And the mom is back healthy sound because he picked it. Have you been there before when God woke you up by 1 a.m.? Listen, don't joke with that kind of thing. Don't joke with that kind of thing. Sometimes sometimes you are in a class. It has happened to me in BSU many years back. I was just reading my book, JJ, and the anointing came so strong upon me. I thought I was singing small. I was just meditating. I felt the anointing like I was touching. It was so real, like I'm touching a chair. Oh, Holy Ghost. As I was singing and praying the Holy Ghost, I didn't know people were avoiding that my class to the next class. Then over like 2-3 hours, I just opened my eyes. I said, thank you, Jesus. I thought I was talking small. Somebody said, I've been doing that for over 3 hours. But what I did not know was that something was happening wherever I was. They said my father went somewhere with friends. And for some reason, he refused to drink there. As a military man, they used to go and drink sometimes. Those days. He said for some reason, he couldn't drink. He said they should put his own in a nylon, even though they can't find anything to put. He doesn't just feel like he wants to go home and drink his own. When they packaged it, he went back home. And just first thing to do, open the leather, pour it in a glass. And he saw this item moving. My mother and him saw it. It was moving. Like a ball. A small ball. And he said, what is this one? And they took it out, that item. And when they kept it, it kept on swelling. That little thing kept on swelling. Quite big. They carried sick and forced it and broke it and blood came out from the thing. And my mother was emotional. He was emotional and they called me and were telling me, what was it? That thing was supposed to be in his stomach. And the thing would be growing. His stomach would be getting bigger. Getting bigger. Getting bigger until he died. It killed his friend. Firstly, the friend, true life story, they remove frog from somebody's stomach. The doctors, I'm not telling you a lie. The doctors could not touch the frogs. They were scared of. When they did the operation, the doctors could not. He's a military man, to the man. The doctors could not touch the frog. The doctor said, let them call his family members. He said, them too, they are scared. They've seen it, but they can't use their hand. It was my father that put hand glove and carried out the frogs. That's how it would have gone. But we receive the fervent of the Spirit. And for no reason, we're just lebelegadabaliyakabalagadabalagadabaka. But God uses the foolish things of the world to conform the wise. See, if you must puncture, if you puncture into the supernatural, it can never be normal with you. Whether in this extreme or that extreme. That is why you see them, they'll be doing like this. We will be doing like this. There must be something different about you when you punch into the supernatural. If you want to make sense to normal human beings, the supernatural is not for you. Some people will think you are a madman. It is not for you. If you want to still look civilized, this supernatural is not for you. If you want to always make sense, this supernatural is not for you. If angels appear now literally here, it can never be normal with this atmosphere. Like it is not normal right now if you can sense it. That is why you see some of your extreme babalawos, those ones in the world. You will see how they will look like madmen. The Bible also prophesied about the spiritual man. He said in those days, the spiritual man will act like a mad person. And that's why he said, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Meaning that what wine can achieve for you, what much wine can achieve for you, true spirituality would have achieved it. You are high in the Holy Ghost. You will feel some kind of these things. Don't try to curtail it. Why people suffer a lot of consequences, a lot of trouble, is because they are trying to curtail spirituality. They are trying to manage spirituality. If you watch Kenneth Hagin's meeting, some of you will be wondering if he's a madman. Sometimes he laughs throughout the service. Allow it flow. Tell somebody allow it flow. Sometimes the expressions will make you look like an idiot. an idiot you should look like, no problem. Move in that dimension. Move in that flow. Move in that flow. Don't try to look intelligent or sound intelligent. Sometimes you are praying, there's some kind of expression you feel like making. Allow it flow. Allow it flow. Don't try to force an expression. If the expression is coming out from your inside, allow it flow. Tell somebody, allow it flow. Don't try to say, me, my prayer must be like this. No, sometimes it may make you look like a very crazy human being. As he's doing inside, allow him. Don't hinder him a moment. If you think that bedroom will distract people, go somewhere far. Go somewhere far. See, allow the Holy Ghost find full expression. Because until he finds that full expression, things can never be normal. Things can never be okay. Are you listening to me tonight? Is there somebody ready to allow it flow this morning? Is there somebody ready to allow it flow this morning? As he's doing, you allow it flow. You have 5 minutes to allow it flow the way it is. I'm not hearing you, somebody. You have 5 minutes to allow it flow the way it is. Let it flow the way it is. Let it flow. Ayabakala bayako. Yanko, 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 yanko. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Bakanda balakaya. Aregonia kabaya. Parakadabaya. Kabaya kabaya kabaya. Let tombe leta. I can hear you, somebody.
You're the wish.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.